During the George Floyd riots, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey abandoned the city's third precinct, surrendering it to rioters who then set fire to it.
The mayor defends abandoning the third precinct.
If we were to continue to attempt to hold the first third precinct, very likely there would have been hand-to-hand combat, likely serious injury, and maybe death.
After the George Floyd riots, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey was in the spotlight to defund the police.
Majority of Minneapolis's city council is pledging to defund or dismantle the police department following the death of George Floyd. However, the city's mayor, Jacob Frey, opposes that. Protesters chanted, "Go home, Jacob," over the weekend after he said he does not support dismantling the department. What you campaigned on reform. That's part of how you got elected. You have reformed the body cam policy. You have banned warrior training. But we still have the George Floyd incident. Is reform enough?
I don't want to comment on precisely what the council meant by disbanding or ending the police force. I think there's varying opinions. But what I'm saying is, look, I'm not for abolishing, but deep structural reform, absolutely, we have to make it happen.
To reform the police, they decided to replace SWAT teams with social workers. Governor Tim Walz gave it his stamp of approval while admitting they don't have the staff to do it.
This idea of violence interveners and problem solvers or social workers pairing with police to respond to some mental health calls, many of those are domestic situations that escalate very quickly and turn violent. How realistic is it to have a social worker respond with a police officer in real time? I'm just curious, would it almost require a separate force of social workers and violence interveners to respond to these calls? And how would that work in practicality?
Well, here's what I would tell you is when it comes to social workers, I've been talking about this forever. I think we talk about Minnesota, and I oftentimes point the rosy picture of where we rank on certain things. You've heard me say this as a teacher, we rank last on school counselors and social workers. So one of the things is of trying to find those people, trying to have them out there and trying to have them integrated into real life.
Last week, on Wednesday, October 23rd, 2024, Davis Maturi was doing yard work outside his South Minneapolis home when his neighbor shot him.
Surveillance video obtained by NBC Minneapolis affiliate Care 11 shows the moment Maturi fell to the ground.
His neighbor, John Sawchak, was then charged with second-degree attempted murder, first-degree assault, and stalking and harassment because Maturi has been reporting him to the police for over a year.
According to court documents, Maturi had called police on Sawchak 19 times in the last year, alleging his neighbor had threatened to kill him and his wife, brandished a knife at them, and hurled racial slurs.
Maturi was told by a female police commander that her officers were frightened of Sawchak, and she didn't want to put them at risk. After shooting his neighbor, Sawchak was not arrested. They sent social workers and psychologists to try and de-escalate the situation. And after days of this, Frey and O'Hara had a press conference to complain about the public's outrage.
To that victim, I say I am sorry that this happened to you. But it could not be anything further from the truth to say that we did nothing or that we just simply don't care. That's not true. Everything that we do is impacted by the reality that the police department is much smaller today than what it was prior to 2020, and we are dealing with a much higher call load. We cannot, as a community, on one hand, say, hey, we want cops to use less force. We want less SWAT teams. We want more de-escalation. And then when we actually do that, say, how come the cops didn't use the SWAT team right away? We have been there 24/7 the last few days. We have been using our behavioral threat assessment team. We have used a psychiatrist. We have spoken to this individual's family. We have made dozens of attempts to contact this person. But again, to say that we simply don't care or we did nothing is simply not true.
This feels a whole lot more like politics than it does like somebody that's trying to find a solution. We're about trying to find a solution right now. Again, less politics. That kind of thing is gross.
Hours after this press conference, Sawchak was finally arrested and taken into custody.
If you're saying you're scared, what does that do to me?
Irish sea moss has been all the rage in the last 5 years because when folks started discovering it, It took the country and the world by storm because of the incredible effects it has. It's probably the greatest superfood out there, full of organic-based iodine and a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals. And we've got the gummies and the capsules now in stock at thealexjonesstore.com that are some of the strongest and best out there. Up to 55% off when you get three bottles, over 40% off when you get two bottles, 40% off when you get one bottle, and it's in stock right now, Ultimate Sea Moss, at our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, check out the hundreds of designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, and hoodies. And regardless what happens to InfoWars here in the next 28 days, ladies and gentlemen, your support of our sponsor will make sure I am able to stay on air. So please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get the Ultimate Sea Moss gummies and capsules, as well as other amazing supplements and Patriot apparel. God bless you. Now, thanks for the support.
Wednesday, October 30th, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters, with 5 days, 8 hours, and 52 minutes till election day. And we are, of course, already in the election. And we've got all kinds of news, big legal news. This is where the election is going to be won or lost, in the courts. Big legal news, with some big court decisions and then some other looming court battles in the headlines today. We've also got more reports on the ground, specifically in Pennsylvania, where the tactics that we expected, we anticipated the Democrats to use, of voter intimidation, are already happening. And you have to remember, this is the state where the Democrats have 10 to 1 poll watchers, 10 to 1. And many of these sites, you probably won't even have a single Republican poll watcher, like in Philadelphia. So they know they can get away with all types of shenanigans, kind of like what they did in 2020, specifically in Fulton County, Atlanta, Georgia, where they lied about a water main break, sent the Republicans home, and the Democrats came back and started counting ballots. And by the way, there's undercover footage of Democrats admitting that was their plan. We'll play that for you today. But now they're basically just printing off these badges that just says official democracy protector. And it's just a bunch of Democrat activists trying to stop people from early voting in red areas. So we've got all the videos, all the proof of this, as well as some other shocking videos that you just can't even believe, where they're pulling up what appears to be illegal immigrants to the polling locations. People have been waiting in line for hours. Bus of illegal immigrants pulls up and just gets shuffled right in. And they're saying they brought them in to vote. Now, again, you can watch the video. We've got the video. It's almost too shocking to even believe, but that's what's being reported on the ground. Now, we will get human intelligence today. We will go to the phone lines today. We will get the human intel, people on the ground, early voting, what they're seeing, what they're hearing, as we have been in this campaign, specifically since the early voting started. But it's really just incredible. And then you've got Kamala Harris, who had her big event at the Ellipse. It was probably her biggest crowd that she's ever had. And yet, you're still barely hearing anything about it. You're still barely hearing anything about it. There were no big clips, no big moments. In fact, there were massive protests happening outside.
And then people couldn't even get out because they had the whole thing fenced off. They had to climb the fences just to get out. It was such a disaster. They bust in at least half of the people that attended. GPS data through cell phones shows that at least 10,000 of the people that were there had attended multiple Harris rallies. So these are just basically professional rally attendees that the Democrats pay to go to these events. And yet, despite all the effort, barely any stories, barely a blip on the radar. Harris's big rally in D.C. at the Ellipse yesterday. So we'll get into all of this news. I mean, we got multiple states making headlines today, ladies and gentlemen. Now, and you know what? I think we should also probably do an update on where I have the Electoral College standing right now as well, because there have been some shifts. So we'll have that pulled up and ready to go, but there have been some big changes in where I have the Electoral College currently. A couple big changes, ladies and gentlemen. But let's look at these headlines. Let's look at what's happening in the courts. This is where it will be won or lost. Now, I was surprised the Supreme Court acted, but I did believe, I did say yesterday, I think Glenn Youngkin will ensure the security of the vote in Virginia at least as much as he can. But they did have the victory at the Supreme Court. Supreme Court allows Virginia to remove non-citizens from voter rolls, reinstates Glenn Youngkin's voter purge in Virginia. So, again, it's ludicrous that this even had to go to the Supreme Court. That's what Democrats were fighting for. They were fighting to keep their illegal voters on the rolls, and they've lost. And so now the Attorney General of Missouri is taking this nationwide. Attorney General Andrew Bailey releases this statement today. I have filed a brief to halt the Biden-Harris administration's lawsuit to stop states from removing non-citizens from their voter rolls. Proud to partner with 25 other states in the fight for election integrity. Well, and now you have a Supreme Court precedent. You have a Supreme Court precedent to go off of. The states joining in this lawsuit: Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Now, the only ones that I think could be consequential potentially with this election would be New Hampshire and Georgia. And I originally had Georgia going red, and it's, of course, a deep red state, but with the Democrat shenanigans in Atlanta, Georgia is now up for grabs. And the early voting numbers, I would even have Georgia leading Democrat right now. Now, we got some other numbers coming in as well that I'll give you an update with. So that could potentially impact. We'll see what happens with this lawsuit. And not to get off track, but, you know, it all ties into this other big breaking news story that we have today. And it has me a little frustrated, I will admit. And I'm not upset with these people, but I'm getting these messages today. That's not my updated thing, guys, but we'll give you an update coming up shortly. That was my last update. I've got new updates. But I'm getting all these messages and people reaching out. Hey, look, the House Republicans are saying the Biden laptop is real. Oh, wow, really? Oh, the 2020 election issue they're talking about in 2024. Cool, man. Cool. So at least this is some action dealing with this election now, illegals voting. But this is not near enough. These attorneys general need to be going after the mail-in boxes, the mail-in ballots, clearing the voter rolls, not just of illegal non-citizens, clearing the voter rolls of all the ineligible voters. I mean, they put stories out in Michigan, and they just say, well, yeah, we've got more registered voters than citizens. That's just normal. What? They literally published those headlines. I've got them in my news today. That's just normal. No, it's not. And then we find out what it all means. So let's get back into the headlines. But see, that's what I'm saying. Hey, at least this is dealing with the 2024 election. At least Andrew Bailey isn't coming out and saying, hey, golly gee, we need to look at what's going on with the Hunter Biden laptop. The Republicans already blew that. But I'll come back to that, and I'll tell you what I think was going on with that whole thing. But let's get back into these headlines dealing with the election. So, hey, a good start. Let's not just remove the non-citizens. Let's purge the voter rolls of all the ineligible voters. Dead people, people that have moved, people that have 10 people to one location that's a parking lot. So, hey, a good start. But why do you wait to do this until there's a week till the election is decided, potentially? And I get it. You have to go back and forth with the Democrats that just launched all their lawfare to try to steal this election with a week to go. And so now you got the Supreme Court precedent, but it's just incredible. And then there's Pennsylvania. Quakertown polling in Bucks County cuts voting line early, 3 hours early, despite 4:30 closing listed on website. Peace officer cites slow and grueling process as the cause. And all this information is public. You're supposed to be able to vote till 4:30. And then they just come out and say, oh, no, well, we can't sustain it. We can't handle it. So we're shutting it down early. I mean, you got all kinds of craziness going on in Pennsylvania. Then you had this video, and when we talk to people in Pennsylvania that were explaining what's going on, we'll do it again today. Then you have this video. Frustration boils as Pennsylvania voters witness non-English speaking citizens escorted past long lines to vote. This is nuts. How can you even, again, it's like you see the stuff, you can't even believe it. Here's the video with somebody explaining it who was waiting in line, clip 17.
No, they had these people, they had about 12 of them walked in, they were all foreigners, and then they took them up, these younger people helped them to fill out, they say vote PA today,
yep.
And then
vote
they took
today,
them up,
yep.
And somehow they beat a 2-hour line, and then they walked
build
up,
the
and
wall.
The one lady, they were even asking her, they're like, we don't have you in the system, your name's not right, and they're like, oh, well, we'll take it back and change it.
Yeah.
How do you change your damn name?
Exactly, yeah. Well, thank you.
Now, that's Ann Vandersteel reporting there. And this is why Pennsylvania is such an issue, folks. Because I bet you there are no Republican poll watchers there. There are only Democrats. And that's not talking about the official people that are in there running it. It's the poll watchers. It's probably that lady sitting there in the chair. There are no Republicans. Where are the Republican lawyers? Where are the teams of Republicans that are supposed to be monitoring this? Where are they? They're not there. They're not there. And of course, if you know, because this is what the Democrats do, if you know, okay, well, we're going to shut down this polling location. We're going to make the process impossible. We're going to make sure people can't get in there and vote. You'll be waiting in line for 3 hours. Then we'll shut it down early. But we got to get our voters to the front of the line. Yeah. And they escort them to the front. Now, you can say this is all speculation. Fine. Well, somebody explain to me what the hell's going on then. How can this happen? How can this be going on? It's all right, guys. Maybe the Republicans will talk about this in 2028. Maybe they'll tell us about this in 2028. Then you had a rally in Allentown, and we'll play these videos later. They're a bit long, where the local mayor was trying to shut down the rally and stop people from going in, and a young Trump campaign worker was like, you know, hey, what the hell's your problem, bro? And basically told him off, and he lost that little street confrontation, if you will. And then you got the police telling people that they can't vote. You got them shutting down the lines early. So there you go in Pennsylvania. Then there's Michigan. Inflated voter list is a feature, not a bug, of Michigan voter rolls. Oh, see, it's totally normal. Having more registered voters than legal voters, having more registered voters than active citizens and voters, that's normal in Michigan. See, it's normal. So we're actually reporting on this stuff. People are actually publishing the numbers and the data. And they just say, well, it's just normal. Oh, I'm sure. And when the final results come in, like they did in 2020, and you'll have multiple counties with more votes than registered voters, they said, well, that's a conspiracy theory, but the numbers are publicly available. The data is publicly there. Then you look at the voter rolls, you see there's more registered voters than legal voters, more registered voters than citizens that can vote. And they just say, well, that's normal. And they publish this in the local news. Literally. More individuals on the voter rolls than legal voters is normal for Michigan. Oh, I see. And that's their story all over. The Associated Press, the local Michigan news, that's just their story. So, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we got caught with a bunch of illegal voters, and now we actually know the whole scam. And they just say, well, that's just normal. So first it doesn't exist. First they say it just doesn't exist. You're a conspiracy theorist. There aren't more votes than voters in these counties. Then you actually find the numbers, and they say, oh, well, actually, that's normal. So you got caught. And now you're just saying it's normal. And then here's the latest one going around. So this explains it. Well, gee, how could there be more voters than legal? How could there be more votes than legal voters in Michigan? In Detroit City? Oh, well, this would explain it, wouldn't it? Michigan early vote shocker. Election integrity data analysis claim they have proof of 208,000 ballots cast by 82,000 voters. Wow. Data expert Tim Vetter, data lead for United Sovereign Americans, and Pani Matravati of Check My Vote identified 6,126 duplicate votes on the August primary voter rolls. And so then you go into the voter rolls, and what do you see? You see voter ID numbers in there multiple times registered to multiple addresses. Wayne County, Detroit City. So you see, we know all this is going on. But it's okay, guys. The Republicans are dealing with the Hunter Biden laptop now, so we're good. So, oh, yeah. They catch people that are registered to vote from parking lots and gas stations and casinos. And then they catch people registered, same voter ID, multiple times, multiple addresses on the voter rolls. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, well, okay, so this is how Michigan's voter rolls are screwed up. This is why there's more, quote-unquote, voters than eligible voters. And then they say, well, that's normal. Oh, I guess that's normal. Oh, okay, it's normal. It's normal to have multiple addresses registered with a single ID and they're voting in this presidential election. Yeah, totally normal. But hey, the good thing is, guys, the Republican Party is talking about the Hunter Biden laptop, not this, not whatever the hell is going on. Is it one person voting 20 times? Is it something else going on? Is it illegal vote? I mean, it's just normal. Whatever it is, they just tell you it's normal. And then this is also in Michigan. Michigan's, I believe it's the Secretary of State, Joshlyn Benson. Look out, she might catch a lawsuit for this one. Clip 16.
Issues with the programming of the bats with specific
yes.
Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Why was that only caught in the past few days, and why can't it be fixed? I saw the release.
Yeah, this is a nationwide issue with Dominion voter access terminals in the counties that use them. And the voter access terminals, of course, not all the machines, just the ones that are accessible, have an issue with the straight party voting and a programming issue that's, again, affected the machines nationwide. And I think all of us that use Dominion machines were unhappy to learn about this during the testing period and as early voting began. So we're working with Dominion to seek accountability on that front and also are working with our clerks to ensure voters are aware of this programming issue that will require them to ensure they are voting every section on the ballot.
Do you think it's a bigger issue in Michigan because we do allow voters to cross over in ways that a lot of other states don't?
Because we have straight party. It's not struck me as I've talked to my other colleagues in other states. They're just as upset about it as we are. So, yeah, more surprised, I think.
I wonder what a solution would be, like, I don't know, paper ballots probably could work. Just a crazy idea. Just a crazy idea. Then you have Colorado. Colorado voting system passwords published on state website. What? It was on there for months, they say. The Colorado Department of State confirmed in a news release Tuesday that a file including passwords for voting systems was erroneously posted on its website. Oh, just an error. The Colorado Department of State is aware that the spreadsheet located on the department's website improperly included a hidden tab, including partial passwords to certain components of Colorado's voting systems. Yeah, wasn't that where Tina Peters was at, and she was trying to actually have transparencies in the election, and now she's facing prison for the rest of her life as a grandma? Colorado? Hmm. And it's apparently Jenna Griswold, the Secretary of State, but do you think she'll see any charges? Do you think she'll see any time behind bars, or is that only if you're Tina Peters? Is that only if you're a Republican? When you're a Democrat and you publish the passwords to the voting machines, no problem. Oh, it was a mistake. And she says she's not going to resign, by the way. Of course not. Why would you? It's probably what you were told to do. Probably what you meant to do. So why would you resign? You just publish the passwords to the websites. No big deal. You also have fraudulent ballots being discovered all over Mesa County. She won't resign. The Republicans tried to impeach her earlier this year, mind you. Republican attempt to impeach Colorado's Secretary of State fails in the State House. So she avoided impeachment, and then she accidentally published the passwords to the voting machines. And now there's fraudulent ballots being discovered all over Mesa County, Colorado. She should definitely not resign. No. She is doing a great job. That is, if you're the Democrats and you don't care about protecting democracy. You know what I mean? You know how that goes in all of these different states?
They're coming after everybody. They're coming after Trump. They're coming after Kennedy. We need your support, and you don't even come here and do this.
Alex, first of all, I want to thank you. Give to Alex Jones. I don't want this guy to have to be, like, wearing a symbol, and we're all going to say, you know, the truth teller formerly known as Alex Jones. Let's not let that happen.
But, they're trying to make an example out of me. I'm not that important, but I've become a rallying point. I've become like a Roman standard they want to capture. Explain that.
Look, I mean, if we don't have freedom of speech, if you don't have the First Amendment, if, you know, media, which is, look, it never said only newspapers or the media. It was anyone that wants to challenge government, anyone that's willing to, you know, put the feet to the fire of corporate interests of your government, that is supposed to be free.
Electronic soapbox.
In the end, if you lose, Alex, we all lose. We will all lose the ability to do tough stories, to take risks, to plant flags where we think there's an issue. Sometime we'll will get it wrong. I said before, you do a daily show. It's impossible to nail that to the wall. I do a weekly show. I spend more time vetting it. They're two different animals. They can't be compared to each other.
They also take stuff out of context and exaggerate.
Absolutely, that's true. You know, one of the things that makes you so spectacular, Alex, is long before any of us were here, you were starting to talk about this deep state. You were talking about this, you know, a government that was supposed to be of, for, and by the people, that was being robbed from us by corporate interests, by special interests, by globalists, long before anybody else ever did. And to imagine you sitting here in this moment, we are in that impactful moment. And in many ways, not enough people are listening to you. And I want to say that, you know, I think the vaccine, and we've talked about this before, that was the tip of the spear of the final death blow, which was, if we can inject you and own your bodies and own the bodies of your children and pass laws that say that, you know, because of vaccinations, we've decided that we own your children. We make your decision.
That's a revolutionary takeover.
It was a revolutionary takeover. And so people like me got alarmed by that, and we joined forces with people like you that have been really talking about it for a long time. But I would say that we are at the very last stage. I was just speaking publicly, and this woman said, things don't happen that fast, Dale. You're being really dramatic. I don't think this election matters that much. I was like, that's because you're looking at this over the last year, maybe 2 years. There's people like Bobby that's been fighting the corporate establishment for 40 years as a lawyer, that watched his father when he was 13 years old be killed for exactly this battle.
And his uncle.
This fight, and his uncle when he was 10 years old. So depending on what window you look at this, we're really at the end stage of a takeover and destruction of the one thing that stands in the way of globalist thinking, which is the Constitution of the United States of America.
They're doing all these lawsuits trying to take my name. People say they can't do that. Well, I got to defend those. We're going to win. We're already winning. The judge shut them down last week. That took high-powered lawyers and that, you know, 50 grand right there to have those briefs ready, okay? This is total war. We make it easy. Great supplements, great t-shirts, great everything. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP member. You get $40 free a month. For $30, you make $10 on that. It reminds you to go back to the store. Incredible supplements, the ultimate sea moss, superfood. It's all there at the Alex Jones Store, thealexjonesstore.com. My dad's great supplement company, drjonesnaturals.com. That's how we're funding this operation. Separate from InfoWars, you go there, you get t-shirts, you get ball caps, you spread the word, you meet like-minded people, you're a walking billboard for freedom, it's a great adventure, and you know you're funding our operation. We need funds, and I'll go on the offense and just hope the money comes in, but we're going on the offense. We caught them, we got the documents, I told you I'll sue the CIA and FBI. Get ready, first steps start this week, and the enemy already knows, so but I need money to do it. And look, I don't even think about my life or any of that. That doesn't matter. I'm on this mission, I love it, this is great. But I need funds to fight a war. TheAlexJonesStore.com, DrJonesNaturals.com. Those are the coordinates of the resistance. It's all there, and it's great products at great prices, highest quality, and it funds the fight against the New World Order that's coming down on us with both damn feet. But at least we're in the fight, and we're starting to win.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
All right, there's more stuff going on in Pennsylvania I want to look deeper into. And, you know, James Blair is boots on the ground, political director of the Trump 2024 campaign and RNC. I'm going to reach out to him. I actually meant to do it in the break, and then there's so much incoming, I ran out of time, and I didn't even get to send him a message, but I'm going to reach out to him in the next break. There's just so much incoming on this stuff, and we've got some other updated numbers. I'll give you my updated Electoral College as well. So at least somebody's out there putting in the work. There needs to be more. And look, I don't know how far I want to go into this, but there's still some naivety here amongst a lot of the more influential people that support Trump. And a lot of them, you know, it's the same phenomenon you see every 4 years where people you never heard of all of a sudden get a big following and get a big voice and get big influence in an election cycle. It happens every 2 years, mostly every 4 years, and then some of them fall off. You never hear from them again. It's always right around the election cycle you see these trends. But there's all these different issues people are talking about and all these numbers and everything, and it's just like, you just don't get it, do you? You don't. If you really think this election is going to come down to who votes and who doesn't, you just don't get it. And that's not me telling you not to vote. I'm telling you to vote. I voted. Everybody go vote. But this election is going to be won or lost in the courts. It's going to be won or lost on how they count ballots and what ballots they count. I mean, if you can't see that, I mean, look at how the Democrats are fighting like hell to get all these different means and mechanisms to count the votes. They don't even want voter ID. Come on, man. Give me a break. In Michigan, they just say, no, it's normal to have more people on the voter rolls than eligible voters. Yeah, it's normal. I mean, that's your real fight. The Democrats fight and they say, you can't remove illegals from the voter rolls. Why the hell not? The Democrats fight. They say, we can't have voter ID laws. Well, why the hell not? So, and I get it. I get it. That's what gets them the most views. That's what gets them the most clicks. That's what gets them access to the big politicos. So I get it. And I want to win. But there needs to be a major wake-up call. And it might be losing Pennsylvania. And Trump can still win this election without Pennsylvania. But, you know, it's like that would kind of be the perfect victory, I think, here. It would be that Trump wins the election but loses Pennsylvania specifically. And you can talk about Wisconsin and Michigan, but it wouldn't be as big as Pennsylvania because that's where the Republicans made the effort. That's why they spent the money. You know, that's where the big new Trump supporters are going and registering people and having rallies and spending their time and talking all about Pennsylvania. That's the path to victory. Hey, I hope he wins Pennsylvania. He would win Pennsylvania, just like he did in 2016. But, you know, he needs to win Pennsylvania by 500,000 to win it by one. So it's like that would kind of be the perfect victory is Trump wins but loses Pennsylvania. And so all these people can be like, gee, golly, how did he lose Pennsylvania? That's impossible. Yeah. Do you get it now? Now, you've got some new early voting numbers I want to cover, and then we'll pull up the Electoral College. And we'll look at some of these other stories and these other headlines. Kamala Harris leads Donald Trump in Wisconsin and Michigan, according to the latest poll numbers. Well, it doesn't matter. The poll numbers, depends on where you're polling. But again, none of this is going to matter. What matters is what ballots they count. Who gets to vote and what ballots they count. And the early voting numbers, and absentee ballot voting numbers do not favor Trump right now. Now, as we get further into it, and my theory is the Democrats went for the vote Viagra early this time. They went for the vote steroids before the election instead of after the election like they did in 2020. After the election, that's when they did the vote steroids, the vote Viagra. This time they tried to do it before because, I mean, we caught them last time. So now they're doing it before. So as we get further into the early voting numbers, the gaps, like in Wisconsin, are starting to get smaller. So even though the numbers are still favorable with the early numbers for Democrats in Wisconsin, the numbers are not so much that they can't be overwhelmed on Election Day if the red areas get out to vote. But the red areas, the suburbs in Wisconsin, are going to have to get out. I mean, you're going to have massive turnout in the suburbs to overwhelm Milwaukee, mostly. But the numbers are not where, I don't think they're where they, I'd probably still mark Wisconsin for Harris. But they're not. This is not a big enough early vote Viagra. This is not a big enough early vote steroid for Harris to win. I don't know. They could have all kinds of other things up their sleeves, but, you know, they're going to count any mail-in ballot, and there's no surveillance of the drop boxes. Same thing is going on in Pennsylvania. Out of the gates, the early voting in Pennsylvania out of the gates was looking really bad. Really bad for Republicans. The gap is closing. The gap continues to close. So now you're really only down by like 300,000. Now you're really only down by like 300,000 in Michigan if you're Trump. You might be able to overcome that on Election Day. But like I said, Trump will have to win Pennsylvania by 500,000 to win it by one. But the gap is closing. And now, what do you know? As the gap closes in Pennsylvania, you have all these shenanigans going on. Closing the early voting stations. Nobody can get out to vote. Sending them home. Illegals showing up. But the gap is closing. The early vote steroid Viagra for Harris, it's closing. Now, there's some other things going on. Like, they're basically just telling you, we're going to count votes forever in Nevada. We're going to count votes forever in Arizona, I guess, until it's a Harris victory. We may not know who won on Election Day. Maricopa County might be why. And, of course, that's Phoenix. So, yeah, we don't know. It's going to be a slow tally in Maricopa County. It's going to be a slow tally in Arizona. We'll just have to wait. Could take weeks for us to get all the votes for Harris to declare her the winner. Could take weeks. Of course. Come on. Yeah, I mean, you know, all these Democrat-run cities that flip states blue, they're all saying, we don't know. Atlanta, we don't know. It might take weeks. Philadelphia, it might take weeks. Detroit, it might take weeks. Milwaukee, it might take weeks. Phoenix, it might take weeks. I don't know. Yeah, it might look like a Trump victory, but we're still counting in these cities. Oh, when do you stop counting? When Harris wins, don't you know? So, I mean, it's just crazy. This is how our elections are run. And it's just to make it ripe for corruption and fraud. All done by design. And again, the messaging here needs to be the same. And look, I get why Trump moved to the middle on the issues to win. I get that because it's got to be too big to rig. I get it. I understand why people on the far right are upset because he came in as a much more far right candidate and he won. Now he's moved to the middle on a lot of these issues. Probably will get more votes than he's ever gotten before. And that's just his own math saying it's got to be too big to rig, you know, so I'm going to have to move to the middle on these things so I can get more voters. It's been successful. I mean, just look at how many more people support him now. Look at a bunch of the, I mean, even liberals support him now. Even Democrats support him now. So I get the strategy. You know, we'll see what happens when he gets in. We'll see what happens with policy. You know, that's when you apply the pressure if you feel that that's the need on certain issues. Not now. We got to get him in. We got to get the Democrats out. We got to get the deep state out. We got to get somebody in there that actually knows what's going on and at least has a chance to get us on the right course. At least has a chance. I mean, there's hope that Trump might drain the swamp. Not with Harris. She's a swamp monster. So I get it. But all of this finger wagging and finger pointing and blame gaming, all of us have to be on the same issue here, and that's stopping election fraud. That's the big issue. So I see it all over the commentary, all over the different Trump support commentary. You know, they'll take pictures in their MAGA hats, and they'll go to the Trump events, and they'll tell you how great everything is. Hey, fine, I want to win the election. Do what you can to help us win. That's great. Glad to have you on the team. We'll continue to crawl over the barbed wire and bleed out, and you can crawl over us to the finish line and wave the flag like you're the one. Fine, but we all have to coalesce around the issue of protecting our elections from mail-in ballot fraud, from illegal voters voting, from voter IDs registered 12 different times, from more voters on the rolls than eligible voters. I mean, all these different issues that we're seeing. That's what the thrust here needs to be. Not, oh, he needs to say this about this point, and he needs to talk about this, and this is why we'll lose, or this is why we'll win, or this group, that over here. You know. If we could all get behind that, if we could all talk about that, then maybe the Republicans might respond instead of talking about the Hunter Biden laptop 4 years later. But, okay, aside from all that, let's pull up the Electoral College, and I think they'll probably have it where I last did the update last week, and I'll tell you where I see things right now. Let's go ahead and put that on the screen, please. All right, there it is. So I'm going to leave Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania blue for now. I correctly left Virginia red, and I think that it will still be red. I'm gonna leave Arizona blue for now as well. But I think a new state has come into play, ladies and gentlemen, and that is New Jersey. Let's go ahead and make New Jersey a toss-up. Early voting numbers are favoring Donald Trump. And so it's hard to really, you know, the reason why I can sit here and get into depth about what goes on in Nevada and Arizona and Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Georgia, I mean, even Virginia and North Carolina, is because that's where we've witnessed the shenanigans. That's where we've seen all the legal actions and the back and forth. So New Jersey is kind of a mystery element here. But early numbers show that New Jersey is in play. Now, this is actually wild to think if you look at the map here. In fact, for the sake of this segment, put New Jersey red. I mean, if Trump wins New Jersey, he doesn't need Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania on my map. Imagine that knuckleball. That would be the ultimate knuckleball in this election, is if Trump won New Jersey. And then all of those states where everybody spent focused on ended up not even mattering. Now, New Hampshire, I think, is in play, too, less consequential with only four electoral votes. But this is where you're at. I think Glenn Youngkin purging the voter rolls. I think Glenn Youngkin running the state of Virginia, trying to keep things on the up and up. I still think Trump wins Virginia. Now, I'm like the only one that has Trump winning Virginia. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong there, but that's where I got it right now. All numbers indicate Trump's winning North Carolina. And he was back in North Carolina today. All the numbers indicate that. The legal fights are on in Georgia. Who the hell knows what's going on? The early numbers actually don't look good. And it'll have to be too big to rig. I mean, he'll have to win Georgia by probably 400,000. I mean, Trump will need to win Georgia by 400,000 to win by one. Trump will need to win Pennsylvania by 500,000 to win by one. But again, I feel that the Democrats are going all in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. I think they're just going all in. And I will say, I mean, there's back and forth going on in Pennsylvania. I just don't know. It might be too little too late. But take New Jersey off the map. I'm not counting that for Trump yet. I'm just telling you, based off of the early numbers, New Jersey is in play. So he might just outperform. Could outright win. That would be the ultimate knuckleball for this election. That would be crazy. We shall see. But the early numbers are better in New Jersey than any of these other states, folks. That's wild. And you saw he had that massive rally in New Jersey. So, very interesting. Very interesting indeed. All right. We've covered most of the important election news. Let me get into some of the odds and ends, and I'll start with the Biden laptop story. So let me tell you what I think was going on here, and I was speculating this in the process, and I suppose it's just speculation outside of the circumstantial evidence. So in the last 48 hours, the Republicans in the House and the GOP committees, and now Jim Jordan, who chairs some, now they're talking about the Hunter Biden laptop. Oh, it's real. Look at this. The crimes. The scandal. Yeah, we knew that in 2020. Where have you been? Why are you giving us 2020 election news today? So you have a couple things at play here. I'll get this one out of the way first. Maybe, as I was previously speculating, maybe this was the original Republicans' plan for the October surprise. Assuming Biden was going to run, they were going to unleash the hounds on this story, they were going to unleash all their findings, and they were going to expose the Biden crime family and the Hunter Biden laptop and really make it real to people using the thrust of these committees and all the evidence that they've acquired over the last couple of years. And so maybe that was kind of always their plan, strategically, to do this right before the election for the October surprise. And then, of course, they ran the coup on Biden. They dropped out. And now it's basically, a useless endeavor. And the other supporting factor here would be that there are Democrats in these committees, too. And so I would suspect the Democrats probably, as part of this process of running the coup on Biden, probably approached him and said, look, here's the deal. They got you. The Oversight Committee, the Judiciary Committee, the Republicans run them. They got you, and they're going to release this evidence in October. And it's going to crush us. And it's going to crush us down ballot. So why don't you just ride off into the sunset? We'll install Kamala Harris, and you can pardon yourself and your son on the way out if need be, and we'll just bury this story and make sure nobody sees it. Otherwise, this is their plan for the October surprise. Could that have been the case? I hope so, because if not, we're dealing with the same problems. This is why nobody fears Republicans, because they take the 2020 election story and they try to run with it in 2024, and they sit on it while Joe Biden is president, and then allow the Democrats the strategy to take it out of play. They should have moved with this day one. They should have moved with this immediately instead of sitting here and saying, well, we'll do it for an October surprise. Well, then the Democrats found out your plan and they nullified it. And still, probably nothing will be done to the Bidens. And this is why nobody fears Republicans. They sit on the evidence and they do nothing with it. They take the big story from 2020 and they give it to you in 2024 when it's been nullified after they get out-politicked by the Democrats. And it's all the same stuff. Wow, they're talking about the Biden laptop story. It's real now. Oh my gosh, the whistleblowers. They testified years ago. So the October surprise, this was going to be it probably, and they flopped it. They flopped it. Now, this is like both October surprises flopped. The Democrats brought up a new sexual accuser of Trump, failed. So they tried to go with the Trump is Nazi Hitler routine, completely failed. So you had two October surprise flops. as tomorrow is the last day of October. Two October surprise flops. Well, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with the final hours of October. But yeah, that's where I got it right now. Nevada up for grabs, Georgia up for grabs, New Jersey up for grabs, New Hampshire up for grabs. I hope I'm wrong about Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. I really do. And actually, I mean, it's inconsequential, but Trump will probably get one in Nevada as well. If you go down to those other votes, the way they run it, Trump will probably get one there as well, but it's not going to make the difference. Maine. So, hey, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong about Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, but the only state where I'm seeing any action taken is Pennsylvania, which gives me hope. Trump is closing the gap in Pennsylvania with the early vote Viagra for Harris, but I'm not naive enough to sit here and think that the Democrats aren't going to go all in to take those states when that's all we've seen since 2020. But you'll know. You'll know. People will know. And maybe the Republicans will talk about it in 2028. You know? If we're lucky. If we're lucky. All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember, tonight is your last night to get into the Monster Truck Raffle at thealexjonesstore.com. And we already have huge discounts on all the products. There's a discount to become an MVP, VIP member as well, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP, which when you purchase through the VIP program, you get even more entries to the giveaways like this. But it is the last night. Final night, 10 hours to go in the chance to enter the Monster Truck Raffle at thealexjonesstore.com. So when you go there, you purchase a t-shirt, you purchase a hat, you purchase one of the great products like Ultimate CMOS, you get entries into the raffle. But it's the final night, ladies and gentlemen, final night. Become a member of the VIP club at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Monthly membership credits, automatic double entries into all giveaways, bigger discounts on products, exclusive giveaways for the VIP club as well. Final night, folks, with your purchases to enter the raffle to win the monster truck. Final night at thealexjonesstore.com.
Therapists in the U.S. say they are seeing increasing numbers of patients with what they call Donald Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome is clinically real.
It doesn't merely affect individuals, but entire political parties, rendering them unrecognizable.
1 minute, they're perfectly normal. The next, rabid.
The veneer of civilization is evaporating quickly. Families and culture are collapsing. And godless leftists are behaving just like zombies of modern lore.
You can't trust your mother.
Get the hell out of here!
Get the fuck out of here!
Your best friend.
Get that camera out of my face!
The neighbor next door.
Psychologist Dr. Stuart Bassman says for his clients, it started the morning after the election.
Doctors are seeing patients suffering from Trump anxiety disorder.
A number of people are manifesting what I would call post-traumatic stress disorder.
An overpowering fear that President Trump represents the end of the world.
Pray it doesn't happen to you. Rabid.
White males.
Ah.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.